since the founding of our nation.
U.S. President Donald Trump at this week's annual National Prayer Breakfast.
Many of our greatest strides, from gaining our independence to abolition of civil rights, have been led by people of faith and started in prayer.
While our rights are under threat and the sanctity of identities is in peril, let me be clear. The state of our union is strong.
I'm totally influenced by 80s new wave music. There's no way around that. Everybody can tell.
When I get old, I want you by my side.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Lucia Chappell. Poland's gay politician springs into action, Pose star snaps at Trump's State of the Union, and words on romance to Tate's synth-pop beat. Those stories and more this week because you've tuned in to This Way Out.
I'm John Dyer V.
And I'm Sarah Sweeney.
With NewsWrap. A summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending February 9th, 2019. The legal recognition of same-gender couples, equal pay for women, better access to reproductive rights, including abortion, and universal old-age pensions. That's on the agenda of a new progressive political party in Poland called Spring. Spring is led by Robert Biedron, the country's first out politician. He describes himself on his website as a person who is often swimming against the tide, one who can unite people. The 42-year-old former mayor of Slupsk and member of parliament wants to challenge the governing right-wing Law and Justice Party in both domestic and European Union elections this year. Charging that both sides of the political divide in Poland have let us down, Biedron told a rally of several thousand people in Warsaw this week that we need a spring that will renew this gloomy landscape. He's also taking on the country's politically powerful Roman Catholic Church, promising to reduce their influence on how Poland is governed. Biedron's previous political affiliations include the Social Democracy of the Republic of Poland Party and the Democratic Left Alliance. He helped launch the country's campaign against homophobia in 2001. On his website, Biedron promised to always be myself. I'm a politician who loves Poland, he wrote, and said that he is focused on the sustainable development of a modern, honest state that provides equal opportunities for all, supports education and culture, and ensures security.
A bipartisan group of U.S. senators and representatives has introduced a bill in both chambers to protect currently serving transgender service members from Donald Trump and to continue to allow qualified trans people to enlist in the U.S. Armed Forces. It's obviously a direct challenge to the president's effort to ban their enlistment and to discharge honorably serving trans personnel, and comes just a few weeks after the U.S. Supreme Court lifted most of the court injunctions preventing the trans ban from taking effect. However, without explanation, the justices allowed one injunction to remain. The Trump administration is expected to challenge that final barrier to implementation of the ban in a Maryland federal court. The sponsors in the Senate include Democrats Kirsten Gillibrand of New York and Jack Reed of Rhode Island and Republican Susan Collins of Maine. Sponsors in the House include Democrat Jackie Speier of California, joined by Massachusetts Democrat Joseph Kennedy, New York Republican John Katko, California Democrat Susan Davis, and Maryland Democrat Anthony Brown. Our transgender service members put their lives on the line every day despite an ill-advised edict from the president, said Speier in a press release. A Gillibrand press release called Trump's efforts an insult to the brave and patriotic transgender Americans who choose to serve in our military. Meanwhile, Major General Matthew Beavers of the California National Guard is also publicly challenging Trump's proposed ban. He told qualified transgender troops through remarks to a state legislative committee this week that, as long as you fight, we don't care what gender you identify as, adding that nobody's going to kick you out.
But the Arkansas State Supreme Court has ruled that the city of Fayetteville cannot enforce its LGBTQ-inclusive anti-bias ordinance. The city wanted the ordinance to take effect while it challenges the constitutionality of an Arkansas statute that prevents local jurisdictions from enacting any anti-discrimination protections that are not also embedded in state law. there are no anti-bias protections for LGBTQ people in Arkansas. A lower court had allowed the ordinance to remain in effect until the constitutionality issue has been resolved. Fayetteville is a college town, a relatively progressive oasis in the state. The LGBTQ inclusive ordinance passed by the city council in 2015 was subsequently challenged and then ultimately ratified by the voters. The state's highest court ruled in 2017 that the Fayetteville measure violated Arkansas law. However, the late January High Court decision simply reaffirmed the 2017 ruling and left open the question of the law's constitutionality. Fayetteville City Attorney Kit Williams told the Associated Press that he will ask the High Court to reconsider its ruling. "It seems very strange," he said, "that they would deny us the right to at least present that constitutional argument to them for their decision."
LGBTQ people and their allies in Mumbai have celebrated their first Pride since India's Supreme Court overturned the onerous Penal Code Section 377, the colonial-era criminalization of adult queer sex. A record crowd, estimated at about 15,000 people, danced down the streets in the joyous and colorful procession. Mumbai is India's most populous city. Parade co-organizer Ankit Buptani told Gay Star News that it was the first time in a Mumbai Pride parade where no one was wearing masks. The New Freedom also encouraged first-time parade entries by professional associations ranging from medical to educational, plus contingents representing national and multinational companies. 3 or 4 years ago, there were people shouting at us that homosexuals are going to hell, Buptani said. There were no anti-queer protesters along the parade route this year. A record number of people participated in the first post-377 Pride Parade last November in Delhi. Next on the agenda of India's LGBTQ community, national anti-discrimination laws, full recognition of the rights of transgender and intersex people, and marriage equality.
The fallout from the election of a far-right proud homophobe to the presidency of Brazil continues. Jair Bolsonaro used an anti-corruption platform to win election, despite his frequent, blatantly racist, sexist, and homophobic public remarks. Bolsonaro once said that he'd prefer a dead son to a gay son. Anti-queer violence has sharply escalated since the election. The critically acclaimed U.S. film Boy Erased had been scheduled for release across Brazil in January and February. LGBTQ activists were excited about a movie taking a sharp look at so-called gay conversion therapy, but were disappointed by a statement released this week that distributor Universal Pictures would not be releasing Boy Erased after all. The statement claimed that the cancellation was solely and exclusively for commercial reasons based on the cost of the launch campaign compared to the estimated box office sales. Queer conversion therapy does big business in Brazil, something the Bolsonaro regime most likely supports, if only tacitly. Brazilian activist Leandro Ramos told Reuters that the distributor's decision is a little irresponsible, particularly in a country like Brazil, where conversion therapy is still such an epidemic, and in a moment when you have an openly anti-LGBT administration in place. Universal Pictures said the film, starring Nicole Kidman and featuring out singer Troy Sivan, will be released for home viewing, though it didn't say when. Meanwhile, in a late-breaking story this week, the Associated Press is reporting that the Bolsonaro administration is planning to remove all references to feminism, violence against women, and same-gender attraction in school textbooks across Brazil. The scheme would also have the military take over some public schools. The president of one of the country's largest teachers' unions, Nilton Brandão, said that, "We are still waiting to see how, in practice, all this is going to turn out. Right now, it does not make any sense."
And finally, two different studies of queer parents released this week revealed the homo superiority of children raised by same-gender couples. One study by Belgian economists used government tracking data of children born in the Netherlands between 1995 and 2005. It found that kids raised by same-gender parents had higher test scores in elementary and secondary school and were about 7% more likely to graduate from high school than children raised by the traditional mother and father. The study followed 1,200 children who were being raised by queer couples and more than 1 million kids raised by heterosexual couples. The Netherlands was chosen by the researchers because it has a long history of support for LGBTQ people. According to the Washington Post, the results announced this week echo a 2014 study in Australia that found children in same-gender-headed households to be generally happier and healthier than their peers. One theory about the difference is that lesbian and gay couples tend to share parenting responsibilities more equally.
Another new study released this week comes from Canada. A researcher at the University of Montreal has found that gay dads make wonderful parents. Eric Fuget observed 46 families consisting of 92 gay fathers and 46 children between the ages of 1 and 9 over the course of 7 years for his doctoral thesis. Fuget said he wanted to see how the fathers distributed parental work. He found that gay dads tend to share parental responsibilities fairly equally and are generally more engaged in child-rearing than their heterosexual parental counterparts. Fuget also discovered that gay fathers are less encumbered by notions of masculinity and femininity in parenting roles, and could variously be playmates, caregivers, protectors, role models, and morality guides. He said it's not a question of sex, even less so of sexual orientation. It's a question of the roles occupied when caring for a child, and the time spent with the child.
That's NewsWrap, global queer news with attitude, for the week ending February 9th, 2019. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
NewsWrap is written by Greg Gordon, produced with Brian DeShazer, recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles, and brought to you by you.
Help keep us in ears around the world at the ever-updating thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast. For This Way Out, I'm Sarah Sweeney.
And I'm John Dyer V.
My brother and I started our first band when I was in college, and we thought we were pretty good, so at some point I thought I should move to LA and try to be in a band here.
Devin Tate's Road to Valentine's Day, later in the program.
A hail to the chief, he's your buddy and your neighbor.
My budget will ask Democrats and Republicans to make the needed commitment to eliminate the HIV epidemic in the United States within 10 years. We have made incredible strides. Incredible.
That's what he said, but did he mean it? It was the closest U.S. President Donald Trump came to saying anything about the LGBTQ community in his February 5th State of the Union address, and activists doubt that even that tangential reference can be taken seriously. On the surface, Trump's vow to stop HIV in 10 years was commendable, but critics say that beyond the surface, it was a pledge without a plan. Certainly no such plan is in the works by the Presidential Advisory Council on HIV/AIDS. In December of 2017, the administration abruptly fired all of the council members who had not already resigned, and two new co-chairs were appointed only recently. Trump's promise is also not supported by his last two budget proposals, which have slashed funding for HIV/AIDS research and programs. Among AIDS activists, the highest priority for combating the disease is the protection of the Affordable Care Act and Medicaid, two of the Republicans' favorite targets. The only official mention of specifically queer concerns on State of the Union night came from Democratic respondent Stacey Abrams, the former state legislator who made an impressive run for governor of Georgia.
We affirmed marriage equality, and yet the LGBTQ community remains under attack.
What the official speeches lacked was made up for by Poe's star Billy Porter in his own State of the Queer Union address.
Hello. I'm here with Logo to offer up the LGBTQ State of Our Union, reflect on the past year, and look forward to the year ahead. While our rights are under threat and the sanctity of identities is in peril, let me be clear. The State of Our Union is strong. Last month, we celebrated the legacy of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Each year, we offer up Dr. King's inspiring quotes, but it's crucial that we take the time to consider what they really mean. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. As LGBTQ people, we face hate every day due to the simple fact of our existence. The Human Rights Campaign reported that in 2018, no fewer than 29 transgender souls, mostly trans women of color, lost their light to violence. We will try to do right by them, to say their names, so that their deaths may not be in vain. According to the Anti-Violence Project,
The severity of hate violence against LGBTQ people is increasing. And as the attack on our brother Jussie Smollett shows, violence can touch our lives, no matter who knows your name. How do we fight this hate? With love. We must continue to demonstrate our love for each other. Love is strength. Strength we must have to fight for our integrity and for our very lives. We will fight hate with solidarity by standing up for our siblings around the world. We stand with our siblings in Chechnya, where a crackdown on the LGBT community has resulted in 40 people being detained in recent months and at least 2 being killed. We will stand with our siblings in Brazil, where a rash of anti-queer violence has been compounded by the presidential election of a far-right president, Jair Bolsonaro, who has a history of homophobic, racist, and sexist comments. In the words of Bayard Rustin, Dr. King's brother in the struggle for civil rights, when an individual is protesting society's refusal to acknowledge his dignity as a human being, his very act of protest confers dignity on him. And we will fight hate with our voices. We are living with an administration that is seeking to erase our very existence, but we won't let them. We must loudly and proudly declare we are here through the banning of transgender service members. We are here through the violence enacted by hate speech. We are here. And if the victories of the last year prove anything, we ain't going no damn where. In November of this past year, America elected the most diverse Congress in history, with a record number of LGBTQ candidates seeking and winning office. On TV, on film, and in music, we are showing up and showing out. From Janelle Monáe snatching an Album of the Year Grammy nomination for her queer magnum opus, Dirty Computer, to the Academy of Motion Pictures, Arts, and Sciences, serving us the queerest Best Picture nominees in its 90-plus year history, to the groundbreaking show Pose, giving voice to a community often silenced. We are in front of and behind the cameras, and increasingly, we are the authors of our own stories. Looking forward, 2019 promises to be a year of celebration. This summer, on the 50th anniversary of the Stonewall Rebellion, the United States will host World Pride for the first time in New York City. We will continue to carry on the legacies of our elders, of Marsha P. and Sylvia, of Baldwin and Bayard, of Harvey, Larry, and Miss Major. We will continue to come together to acknowledge and embrace our intersectional community and to push for equality and justice for all. Though darkness may seem to overshadow the progress we've made, we must not let it snuff our light out. Love will and love must keep us united. Only with the strength from love can we continue to forge ahead. Make no mistake, our best days are ahead of us. Onward and upward. God bless our LGBT community, and God bless the United States of America.
That was actor, singer, activist Billy Porter on the state of the queer union.
Hey, everybody, this is Leah Delaria, and you are listening to This Way Out.
Won't you come and see us?
You supply the chocolates, and we'll supply the hot-off-the-presses queer love song.
I'm Maddie McLaughlin for This Way Out. Valentine's Day falls smack dab in the middle of every February, literally and figuratively the calendar month's hump day. Loved by those in love, while dreaded by the lovelorn. If a dose of hope and optimism is what you're looking for to get you through Black Thursday this year, the sophomore solo release by LA-based synth-pop songsmith Devin Tate may be just the box of chocolates you need. Recently, I sat down with Devin to discuss his new album, Art Damage, collaborating with LGBT icon Wendy Ho, and his musical musings on love and plans for a successful and satisfying Valentine's Day. Telling me not Devin, welcome to This Way Out.
Thank you.
Tell me a little bit about your history.
I originally came from Kansas. I grew up on a farm. My brother and I started our first band when I was in college, and we thought we were pretty good, so at some point I thought I should move to LA and try to be in a band here. Actually, when I first moved here, I kind of thought I was going to be in a boy band. Step one.
We can have lots of fun. Step
two. I thought it would be really fun, and I could meet other guys. And so I enrolled in a class at Learning Tree University up in Chatsworth called Hip Hop and Funk Dancing. And I realized that probably wasn't going to happen. And that's when I met Amy Crosby and Vaughn. They started this band, which at the time they called Short Hair Girls Club. And I said, oh, well, I play keyboards. Could I maybe like come over when you rehearse? So I kind of weaseled my way in with them. That's when we kind of decided, hey, let's call it Glitter. Amy's cat was like trying to eat some tinsel wig on the floor. So that's where the name came from. In Glitter, we did 3 albums. We were reviewed in Out Magazine, all the local LA magazines. We did a little tour. We played Iceland Gay Pride, Winnipeg Gay Pride, San Francisco, San Diego, Albuquerque, LA. We did the Queer Media Conference in New York. So we had a really busy year. I think that was 2006. That was kind of our biggest year, I think. It kind of all fell apart after 2008. That's when I went solo. I had a solo album come out in 2011. And then after I released my album, I wanted to play it out live, so I needed a band. So that's how I formed Devin Tate and the Traitors. And then I realized I wanted to have all the control again. So that's when I kind of started working on this solo album.
We're out on the range, and isn't it strange? It's like a dream where I forgot to get dressed.
Who are your musical influences?
I'm totally influenced by 80s new wave music. There's no way around that. Everybody can tell. Human League is my favorite band and has been since I was really little. Also, Tiffany was like my diva. She's my original OG diva from back in the day. I love Duran Duran. Anything Thompson Twins, B-52s, Devo, Sugar Cubes. Anything from the 80s that was on MTV. MTV was like my one link to kind of this other world that I didn't see anywhere near me, but I could see it on my TV every day.
Now, you're artist and co-producer on this album, and as co-producer, you've chosen to include some bright new talents on the songs.
There are a lot of tracks where I have vocalists that I sing with. One in particular, Raisa. She's been singing backup with Demi Lovato. I think she was on The Voice or one of those big TV shows. Really happy to feature her on this album. Yeah, so in love with her voice.
You still have to fight for what's right. You still have to stand. They're not going to make this easy, and it never is. It's the
The song Anyone Can Break Somebody's Heart is a real highlight. It's definitely going to heat up the dance floors. And it features LGBT friend and music comedy giant Wendy Ho. How'd that collaboration come about?
I had a project where I worked with Tammy Brown and Kelly Mantle from RuPaul's Drag Race. We had a band called Rolls Royces. That never really went anywhere because I never really finished producing the EP that we were working on. Maybe someday. But then I was going to see Tammy Brown at Hamburger Mary's and Wendy Ho was there, and I just said, hey, would you want to work on a song together? And she said, sure, hon. You know, we're both from the Kansas City area. She spent a lot of her youth in Kansas City. So we kind of had that connection. It seems like every year at LA Pride, like, I get like a good idea for a song title. A few years ago, I had the idea for one of my songs on my band album, which was To Be Young and on Downers. A year or two after that, I was at Pride and I just thought, anyone can break somebody's heart.
Smashed it all apart. Are you just projecting passion, getting caught up in a
basically it's just like, you know, you can't be too cautious with somebody, you know, like if you're afraid that they're going to break your heart. Well, anybody could do that. So you just need to go ahead and follow your heart, even if it's going to get broken.
There's a really visceral earnestness to your love songs. It's very sweet, particularly in the song By My Side. Tell me about that.
You know, for me, I'm a very sensitive person and I need a lot of support and a lot of love and a lot of help. So I do want to give Dylan, my husband, credit for that. And so By My Side is kind of a song that I wrote about him to thank him, kind of about our relationship and our marriage. Because he always says that I don't write songs about him, although it's not true. Maybe I just don't tell him which ones are about him, but this one I kind of dedicated to him.
How will you two be spending Valentine's Day? And do you have any advice for our listeners?
Yeah, I mean, don't put too much emphasis on it. Really, the best Valentine's Days are the ones that you don't plan anything and you just kind of like go with the flow. For years, my husband and I would try to go out to some restaurant and like have that stereotypical Valentine's date, and it just never felt that satisfying. We went to a play one time about Leopold and Loeb. That was actually, I think, my favorite Valentine's Day ever. So yeah, we try to do something kind of un-Valentine's Day. Last year, we actually did a bar crawl in Hollywood to a bunch of like kind of dive bars and just had a few drinks everywhere we went. So that was really fun.
Well, I'm going to recommend snuggling over some In-N-Out burgers while streaming your new record, Art Damage. Thank you so much for being with us, Devin.
Thank you.
Best of luck with the album.
Thank you so much.
For This Way Out, I'm Maddie McLaughlin.
As soon as Devin Tate's Anyone Can Break Somebody's Heart video drops this week, you'll be able to see it at thiswayout.org. Thanks for discovering This Way Out, brought to you by the nonprofit Overnight Productions. Some program material this week came from John Dyer V and Sarah Sweeney, produced with Brian DeShazer, and from Maddie McLaughlin. Devin Tate performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Ivana Foundation, the estate of Christopher David Trentum, Paul Bannon, Christopher Matthews, Judd Proctor and Brian Burns, Richard Merck and Brad Payton of Silicon Valley, and all of the listener donors who make this program possible. You can join them by visiting thiswayout.org. Look for This Way Out Radio on social media, smile at Overnight Productions on Amazon, email tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For coordinating producer Greg Gordon and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Lucia Chappell. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org and on WIOFLP and WorkforceRising.com, Woodstock, New York, HCCC Alice Springs, Northern Territory, CKUW Winnipeg, Manitoba, and more than 200 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Now y'all stay tuned.